The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Can you wave your hands to Him and say, Lord, let this be an expression of my gratitude. Wave your hands. You are faithful. Wave your hands to the King. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to call His name in the morning, and to seek His face at night. Let my praises rise up like the morning sacrifice. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You must learn to see what God is doing in your life and to give thanks. Hallelujah. We live in a generation of complainers and grumblers. Oh God, you did this, what about this? You did this, what about this? God, I asked you to give my father 3 cars, you gave him 2. But if you learn to give him thanks, you will see his hand in a mighty way. This is one of our big secrets in this place. At every time we are grateful, we tell him, Lord, thank you. You are faithful. We don't take the miracles for granted. Whenever you think God is irrelevant in your life, all he needs to do is to step just 1 step away. Hallelujah. Lord, you are faithful. Hallelujah. The hand of God upon this ministry is a wonder. Let me tell you something. I cannot begin to describe His majesty and His grace. The hand of God and the things that He has done this year. We give Him praise. Some of you may not know why we take out time to thank Him. Some of you may not know why you see some people kneeling down, others rolling. When you remember what the Lord has done for you and you are truly grateful, you will have cause to say, Lord, I give you thanks. There are many of us that take our breath for granted. There are many of us, we take too many things for granted. Hallelujah. The fact that what you are enjoying today is not being enjoyed by everybody is a reason for you to give God thanks. Hallelujah. I know people who stream from the hospitals with one leg, on one leg, the brace tied, and they are celebrating God the way you are doing. And they look at God in that situation and say, Lord, you've done things well. I know whole families that were wiped out in bomb blasts, plane crashes, yet you see the people rejoice. He said, if you will not praise me, I will raise up stones. Who will testify that I have been faithful? Lord, do not replace me with a stone. My mouth is still open, and I will tell you thanks. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you something, friends. Hold on, please. You know, people look for the secret of this, the secret of that. People want the secret of power, the secret of grace. Some of these little spiritual principles, they are so simple that many people trivialize them. When there was need for bread, he took 2 loaves and 5 fish. Am I correct? And he lifted it up. What did he do? Give thanks. The principle of thanksgiving is the principle of multiplicity. Anything you thank God for multiplies in your life. Now, I know many of you have had this, but for you, it's not yet a revelation. You just, wow, nice word. I'm telling you, anything you thank God for has the capacity to multiply in your life. It's often said, when you thank God for his finger, you will see his hand. When you give him thanks for his hand, you will see him. Hallelujah. But many of us are not grateful. Many of us are not grateful. We refuse to see what God is doing in our lives. You pass a road and you watch an accident there and just smile. And you fail to see that it would have been you. In 1 minute, you would have been it. And let me tell you, the world would have continued going. People would just cry for 2 weeks and that's all. I know God is faithful. The psalmist says, if the Lord has not been on our side, now may Israel say. We have piles of people inside and outside, and we have not had one record of bomb blast. One. That a car drove in here to blow people up. We have seen the faithfulness of God. Are you listening to me? In the midst of all of the crisis and everything that has happened, there has been a covering of the Most High. Not because we are better. There are many churches that were taking communion and were praying while bombs blew in their churches and killed prayer warriors. Hallelujah. This is a mystery that many of us do not know. Thanksgiving. That's why many mothers are blessed, because they know how to give thanks. While they are washing the plates, they give thanks. When you see where you were by January and where God has brought you now, you will give him thanks. Hallelujah. Many of you came here with all kinds of complex, all kinds of inferiority, all kinds of oppression, demonic sicknesses, every kind of thing. But see what God has made out of your life. Who would have known? Some of you are leaders today. I choose to see your faithfulness, oh God. We watched a documentary last week, how God took us. This was the whole of Koinonia before, he and I mean just about this crowd. But see what the hand of God has done. Go on our Facebook page and see the wonder working power of the Spirit. Go across the campuses in this nation and families and see the awe-inspiring things that the Spirit of God is doing through our teachings. It's easy for you to sit down and laugh and say, hands grew out, legs grew. Try it. Just do it. It's easy for you to watch the way we do ministry stresslessly here. No burden on you to bring any, no cajoling you. Every time you come and everything is done in excellence. It's easy for you to see the favor of God and trivialize it. Many times you don't know the power of God's gift in you until you watch others who don't have what you have. I have seen pastors struggle in ministry as if God didn't send them. I have seen people cry. I have seen members languish and lament and weep and say, Lord, won't the word at least work for me? There's no week you have come that there's nobody to give testimony to the glory of God. Do you see these things, or are you still blind? Lord, I choose to thank you. I started thanking him when I could not heal a single sick body. At least I thanked him that I could preach. No manifestations, no miracles, no nothing. But there was a harvest of salvation. And I said, Lord, I thank you, because this is a sign I'm going far. And God said, you mean you are thanking me for this small? I said, Lord. He said, son, you have not seen anything yet. Then another dimension opens up. And I say, Lord, I return thanks. And God says, do you need to? I say, of course. I'm not stupid. I know that I must return thanks. The Bible says Jesus was passing and he saw 10 lepers. And they beckoned on him to heal them. And he said, all right, get up, go and show yourselves to the priest. The Bible says, as they went, they just found out that they were healed. The Bible said Jesus was passing. But only one came back. And when he came back, he saw Jesus still waiting there. I thought the Bible said he was passing. What was he waiting for? And when that one came, he said, were they not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Some of you here are among the other 9. Lord, my parents have started giving me money, but it's just 30,000. When will they increase it? Lord, I've gotten this job, but it's just 50,000. How much can 50,000? Until you hear the testimony of someone who has waited for 10 years without a job, then you will know he is faithful. Hallelujah. God, when will my own husband come? It's only married men that are coming. Wait till you hear the ladies own who no man even has cowed. Only ladies, tell her, how are you? Learn to see what God is doing and respond in thanksgiving immediately. Don't organize and shift your thanksgiving and say, no, no. This is not my message tonight. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. God bless you. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Say one more time, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We began a series on the full gospel. How many of you were blessed 2 weeks ago? Powerful, powerful teaching. You will be blessed tonight again in Jesus' name. Now, in 10 minutes, before we get to the main teaching, I want to teach on the power of testimonies. The Lord asked me to do this in 10 minutes, very quickly. The power of testimonies. Hallelujah. This morning while I prepared, I just sat down, just writing and going through my notes. And suddenly a vision was opened before me. And I saw a release of angels. They were looking like horses, but they were also looking like human beings. And they were running with such speed. And then I said, Lord, what is the meaning of this? And I just had in my spirit, watch. And I kept looking. And then I noticed that they were holding something like vapor. You know how spiritual things are. All of them were holding things like vapor. And then one was holding something like a measuring tape. I mean, they were running at supersonic speed. And the Lord told me that this vapor, or it looked like vapor, I had the scripture, if the cloud be full of rain. I said, Lord, what is this? Rain is this way, but I'm seeing angels holding vapor with that speed. And then I heard a loud voice, I will hasten my word to perform it. And God told me that Koinonia is entering a dimension of the performance, the demonstration of the power of God's word. I don't tell you anything until God speaks to me. I'm not one of those people that stand on stage and talk jargons. I believe when I hear the voice of God, the performance. Katabokashia. Hallelujah. And I saw a vision. You know, I love saying things before they happen because there will be many doubting Thomases. But then when it happens, I saw on this stage testimonies. I saw a line of people reaching down there. I said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord told me there will be an eruption of testimonies that will make people fear. To the point that many people will even start speculating that, nah, something is, this is not normal. I'm saying it. Write it. You will see it. Testimonies. And so I said, Lord, why has it not happened? Why now? And the Lord told me something. He said, my people are not thankful. This is why we took our time. Listen carefully. The Lord told me, he said, you are grateful, but you are not thankful. Hallelujah. And then he asked me to share the power of testimonies. This is why we took our time to give thanks. Psalm 22 verse 22. It's just a 10 minutes teaching. Quickly, please. Psalm 22 verse 22. Lord, we believe your word. Every time you speak, you have the ability to perform. We believe your word. Psalm 22 verse 22. Anybody there? A loud reader? No one is there? Ah! Can we have someone in front? Anybody? As loud as you can. Thank you, sir. I will declare your name unto the brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? He said, I will declare your name to the brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise you? Hallelujah. A testimony is, this is with respect to the church, the Christian context. Honoring the Lord, the act of honoring the Lord by bearing witness to others about his work in your own life. An act of honoring the Lord by bearing witness. About his works in your life. It's an evidence, it's proof. That God is at work. Hallelujah. He says, I will declare your name before the brethren, the family of faith. Hallelujah. He said, before God's congregation. Testimonies are very, very important in the life of the believer. Very, very, very important. Hallelujah. I'll give you four benefits of testimonies very quickly. Number one, testimony brings glory and honor to the name of the Lord. As seen in Psalm 22 verse 22. Honor and glory. Every time you stand on stage to testify of the things that God has done in your life, you bring honor. You bring glory. The congregation sitting will see and say, God is truly mighty. The Lord in the midst of his people, mighty, doing wonders. That the name of his son Jesus is being lifted. You bring honor and glory. And the Bible says, listen, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men. And the way God is lifted up is that he lifts the vessel that lifts him. Are you listening to me? John 17 verse 1. He said, now the hour has come. Glorify now thy son, that thy son may bring glory to you. So the son is first glorified, and then the father is glorified in the son. Every time you give God glory, every time you testify, you create a platform to honor the Lord in the congregation of God's people. Number two. Testimonies prove that God can be trusted and that his word is true. This is so important. We live in a generation of skeptics. Amazing. It used to be scientists and philosophers alone. But right now, all kinds of people, including young people. How are we sure that tithing works? How are we sure that these miracles are real? How are we sure that these testimonies are not made up? How are we sure that somebody was not giving money to testify? How can armed robbers shoot somebody and the bullets are bouncing back? Don't do film trick for us on stage. Skeptics. when a living witness testifies. See, it's one thing for you to see someone on TV or hear about a testimony in an article. It's one thing for you to see someone that you know. Hallelujah. When God's servant Pastor Jakes was healed and God turned his genotype, many people just knew that, this is not joke again. But if we had said it here, some of you would just laugh. Say, all these men of God, they think we are children. They just stand on stage and speak nonsense. Testimony is proof that God can be trusted. Say after me, God can be trusted. Psalm 22 verse 24. Same chapter 24. Anybody? He said, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction
of the afflicted.
Of the afflicted.
Neither had he hid his face from him.
Neither had he hid his face from him.
But when he cried unto him.
But when he cried unto him.
He heard.
He heard. So testimonies encourage the people to know that God, your God, because there are many kinds of gods. In River State, bottle of Fanta. Right, Bishop? Bottle of Fanta is a God to somebody. So when you say God, Jesus said to know you, the only one and true God. Testimony is proof that God can be trusted and that his word is true. Romans 10, 11. I have 10 minutes for this teaching. Romans 10, 11. You must get this. Romans 10, 11. For the scripture saith,
Whosoever believeth on him
shall not be ashamed. Say, I believe in God and I will not be ashamed. Say one more time, I believe in God and I'll not be ashamed. So testimonies prove that God's word is alive. Jeremiah 1 verse 12. He said, I am alert. He said, son of man, what seest thou? He said, an almond tree. Say, you have seen correctly. For I am alert and active, amplified, watching over my word to perform it. Number three, testimonies act as a seal to the miracle that has been received. This is very important. Look at me. Have you seen people get certain miracles and lose it? Have you heard about that? Have you read books how to receive and maintain your miracle? I've seen a lot of people that receive miracles and lose it. You see, the purpose of miracle is not just a showmanship, it's to give God glory. Hallelujah. It means if God is not glorified in your miracle, it was wasted. Hallelujah. Luke 17 from verse 11 to 19. The Bible says, that's a parable of the 10 lepers. That one returned back and gave thanks. And what happened to him? The Bible says Jesus told him to go, that he would be made whole. Look at me. 9 were healed. Only one was made whole. Let me tell you what that means. That the people, the leprosy left them, but the hands didn't grow back. So healing. The leprosy did not destroy them further. All right? But that one person came back and all his fingers, all of it came wholeness. So testimonies act as a seal. Every time you stand before God's people and say, the car would have capsized, but God kept me. Demons are standing from where they are standing and watching. It's a seal because God's people have had it. You have committed God's integrity further in your life. God will not let you come and testify and go back with a disappointment. Are you listening to me? You put pressure on God to preserve that testimony because you have declared in the congregation of his people. And God knows that by these two immutable things, he cannot lie. Are you listening to me? A testimony is not what will happen. A testimony is what has happened. He said, I will declare your works. Are you getting blessed? You see, many of you have robbed yourself of new dimensions because you have refused to see. And let be, there are many of you, if you would write the testimonies that God has given you this year, many people would have been born again as a result of your testimony. Many people would have been healed as a result of your testimony. Number four, the last reason, and this is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Revelation 19 verse 10. Revelation 19 verse 10.
And
I fell at his feet
to worship him.
Okay.
And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of
For Jesus the testimony of Jesus
is the spirit of prophecy.
Listen, let me explain this mystery. Oh, I pray God will open your eyes. He said the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. This means every time you testify of Jesus, are you listening to me? You create an atmosphere for a duplication of that miracle in your life again and in the life of another person. It says testimonies about Jesus, they are prophetic in nature. That means they have the capability of replaying themselves in the future. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when David stood before Goliath, don't think David was just laughing. He was a man like every other person. And he looked and he drew from the archives of his testimony. He said, the one who delivered the lion, come on. The one who delivered the bear. He began to encourage himself with those. He was prophesying. He said, the one who did it in the past. I want a replication of that testimony in the future now. The testimony of Jesus. This is why sometimes you hear us say the things that God did in the past, because we expect him to reproduce it again. Hallelujah. The testimony of Jesus. There are many of you, the last time you received a certain testimony, that was the last time you had it. You did not maximize the testimony as a prophetic ladder to launch yourself to a new realm. Take seriously what I'm saying. It's very powerful. Many of you refuse to come and give testimony and say, I don't want to sound proud. But you see, whenever we say write prayer requests, you don't hide it, do you? You write all your prayer requests. Life partner. Job. I'm struggling with this habit. This and that. You are quick to write your requests. But you are slow. You say, should I testify? Should I not? And then you find out that for a very long time, there's no reproduction of testimony in your life again. Have you seen certain people again and again on stage? You are even tired of them. Every time you see them, you say, this brother again. You are laughing at him, but he is always coming back. Are you not seeing the principle? Notice, no, I'm being very honest here. Do you notice that there seems to be a repetition? You see a brother comes to give a testimony about the faithfulness of God in the family. Oh, God, open up a door. God did this. And you laugh at him. And next week again, you see him. And you are laughing and mocking and you sit down there. You are angry and say, God, why won't you visit me? God said you did not honor me. The purpose of the testimony that I gave you was to encourage someone. Every time you are standing and you say, I had a lump. And the lump disappeared. Somebody who just came for koinonia with a lump, say, are you joking? You mean lumps can disappear? The testimony of Jesus. You are creating an atmosphere for that same miracle to be reproduced. And the person will say, I had this testimony. I'll never forget the testimony of Steve Strings. When it was time for admission, first list came out. His name was not there. This was the story he told me. Second list came out. His name was not there. Hallelujah. Then we went for service in Kwangila, Living Faith. And he had someone testifying that he went around Senate 7 times. And when the second list came out, he got his admission. What happened? Steve said, that's it, the spirit, the testimony of Jesus. Steve String said he went round Senate for this, waiting for the third list, and when the third list came out, his name was there. You see, when you testify, you don't just tell people what God has done, you tell them what you did that brought the result. So somebody will look and say, ah, so God is faithful. Hallelujah. A job opportunity came and two of you were there, and maybe you sacrificed it for somebody else. Then a greater job came. Somebody will now learn a principle from it. Are you following me now? I will declare the name of the Lord before my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you. Psalm 22 verse 22. Never forget this scripture. I choose to be thankful. When you are not thankful, you will keep getting angry at those who are testifying. I say, why are they boasting? Are they lying? God bless them. What do you want them to say? Keep quiet like you are doing and stop the Lord from being glorified. Someone comes and says, God, open a door for our family. God, wipe the tears of my mother. God, wipe the tears of my father. And people, see, every time you see people testifying, don't just get angry and say they are bragging. You don't know where they were before the miracle came. Hallelujah. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. When you hear a testimony, don't just look and say, this person said, you are always talking. Why don't you celebrate and say, Lord, I rejoice with this person. The same God who did it for Sister A, the same God who did it for Sister B, the same God who did it for this family. At least I know this family, when they used to go to the well to fetch water, now they have their own house living in a borehole. I know this woman who was barren for 8 years. Now see her with children. I rejoice. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I want to encourage you, because the Lord told me that many people are grateful, but we are not thankful. That's why I decided to take these few minutes to teach you. Because you see, every time God rebukes a ministry, it's the leaders that are to be blamed. Hallelujah. If I don't teach you, God cannot blame you and hold you accountable. When Eve fell, who did God go to? Was he blind? Didn't he see Eve? Said, Adam, what happened? Adam said, the woman. Oh, may I not say the people? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, Lord, I receive grace. I receive courage. I know that many of you are ashamed. You are just saying, I don't speak English very well. Who cares? Say it in Hausa. Or say it in your language and call an interpreter. Oh, yes. Who paid your transport to come here that will hire you? Who was there when you were crying? Speak whatever you can speak and give God thanks. See, don't put yourself under unreasonable, ridiculous pressure. We are excellent people, not stupid people. Are you listening to me? Don't come and say, see my shirt, this material that I bought, self. Everybody knows. It has been lying down in Sabo. There is me that came and carried it. Now I want to come and stand and disgrace myself. People worry about all kinds of useless things, and that's why they don't testify. My Yvonne has been there for how many years? They ask him, my beard. He said, I will declare your name before the brethren. Hallelujah. We're going to pray before we go to the teaching tonight. Say, Lord, I receive grace. Grace. Go ahead and pray. Make sure you are praying. Kabalakota Silamaya. Say, Lord, I repent for trivializing your works in my life. I repent for trivializing your works. I thought you would be arrogant if I testify. But right now, Lord, I know that I've been robbing myself and robbing other people of the opportunity for seeing new dimensions. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, I receive grace to be faithful. My testimony, I now know it will bring you honor and glory. I now know that it will prove to men that you can be trusted and that your word is true. I now know that it will act as a seal to my miracle. I now know that it will create an atmosphere for that testimony to be duplicated in my life and duplicated in the life of others. Go ahead and say, Lord, I receive grace according to Psalms 22 verse 22. Never forget it. This is the anchor scripture. Psalm 22 verse 22. That I will declare your name before the brethren. Your praise before the congregation of God's people. I refuse to be ungrateful. I develop a healthy Christian culture. The Bible says, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the words. Your words of testimony have an overcoming ability in the spirit. Lord, as a house we pray, we will not just be grateful, but we'll be thankful. From today, oh God, we make it a point of duty to testify, to rejoice, to notice the things that you are doing in our midst. And Lord, we'll give you praise. Father, we release you to keep doing more and bring a performance in every area of our lives. Keep praying one more minute. Say, Lord, I make up my mind. Some of you need to pray against timidity. Say, God has not given me the spirit of fear. Speak to yourself. Say, that devil of timidity, or that lukewarm attitude that makes me trivialize what God is doing in my life and in my family and in my business and in my ministry and in your academics, in your job, whatever. Lift your voice and say, Lord, I see what you are doing. And I let the congregation know you are faithful. I will not let unbelievers doubt your faithfulness. Whereas you are alive and walking. Pray for Koinonia. Say, Lord, as a family of faith, we will not keep quiet over what you are doing. Men may call it pride. They may call it arrogance. But we will declare that the nations will know you are alive. Our God is not dead. The wonder working one is not dead. Say, Lord, I receive courage to create an atmosphere and let people know how God brought me out of the dunghill and set me upon a place of glory. How he changed the story of my family. How he made a way where there seemed to be no way. How that the words that were spoken here found expression in my life. For your glory, oh God. So I desire to give you the praise. And Lord, we will not relent. We take it as a kingdom culture. That from today, as a family of faith, like never before, we will declare your praises. We will not hide what you are doing in our midst. The Bible was written because men testified of what God did in their lives. They were not careful to write it. They said it as it is. They said the Red Sea parted. He gave them bread. He gave them quails. He made a way where there was no way. They did not hide it. Jesus multiplied bread. He didn't hide it. It was said, and today we are blessed. It is as a result of the testimonies of yesterday that we know today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We will not stop many from saying Jesus is the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I release grace upon you to declare the wondrous works of the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. And any door of testimonies that has been closed over your life because of your negligence, I pray that it be open tonight. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, you put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and will fear and put their trust in him. He said, you will put a new song, not an old one. A new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see. They will tremble and fear. And say, this God is a wonder-working God. And as a result, they will put their trust in him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We're out of time. Quickly, let's get to the business of the night. How many of you were blessed? You received something? Do something with the word. It's not just they that hear. the Bible didn't say the earnest creation is waiting for the manifestation or the explanation of the sons of God. It's waiting for those who will do, put the word to work. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at our text quickly. We're examining the full gospel, the whole truth about the priorities of God. Hallelujah. What was our text? Revelations 19. Hallelujah. For time's sake, I may not go there. I want to do a quick review for those of you who were not there. Please, everybody, try and get the teachings. They are powerful. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, talking about the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife, he said the city was four square, equal in length, equal in breadth, equal in depth, no part, no exaggeration. Hallelujah. And we began to explain the fact that there are three problems with the Nigerian church. Number one, an exaggeration of certain truths and doctrines. Number two, an underemphasis of certain truths. And number three, a misplacement of God's priorities. Hallelujah. And I began to teach how that on careful examination of the Nigerian church, there are seven major doctrines that make up the Nigerian church. Every church in Nigeria has one or more of these as their emphasis. Hallelujah. Number one is the gospel of grace, the grace message. We examine the grace message. Hallelujah. How that is founded upon Ephesians 2 verse 8. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. And we explain how that the grace message seeks to explore the dimension of God that supplies grace for the journey ahead. And we said how that doctrine is not wrong. It's very, very important. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 tells us how that we have been seated with Christ. And that there is a dimension of God that opens us up to the grace of God. An act of His sovereignty has no business with what we have done or what we didn't do. Hallelujah. And we stress that the area of balance there is the fact that the word grace there is twofold. One is unmerited access. The second one is the ability to do. And that's where the church body has missed it. Hallelujah. And so we have an overstretching, and we do not bring the grace message properly in context. And I said that if the grace message is not balanced, it will produce a lazy and an irresponsible church. Because if you understand the grace message and it stands alone without other revelations giving it a richer meaning, you will feel that there's no need to pray. There's no need to fast. There's no need to study. After all, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. So why must you prepare? The Bible says the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So why prepare the horse when safety is of the Lord? Hallelujah. He said, except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. So if God is watching over the city, why will the watchmen be watching? The grace message in itself is not all there is. And if you leave it alone in itself, it will lead to a lot of errors. Hallelujah. Then we looked at the word of faith. Hallelujah. Other, the Bible says, the word is nigh thee. Romans 10. It said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be, the word there is soteria. Hallelujah. There are two basic words. There are many words really, but two basic words are translated saved or salvation. One is sozo. That has to do with healing, the manifestation of God's power with respect to his healing ministry. And the other one is soteria. Soteria means deliverance, prosperity, you name it. Hallelujah. And we examine that the word of faith seeks to bring the revelation to the body of Christ, that there is a relationship between the creative power of the spoken word and what we get. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 And he said and he saw. He said and he saw. Ezekiel 37. I prophesied as I was commanded and I heard. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23. Have the faith of God. If thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed and casted into the sea, and will not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things which you sayeth will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Hallelujah. Bible says the just shall live by faith. He said we should hold fast our profession of faith. So the word of faith seeks to open the body to the revelation that if you do not speak, the Bible says, for by thy words you are justified and by thy words you are condemned. He said where the word of a king is, there is power. The power of words, the creative power of the spoken word. And then an addition to it came when a great father of faith, Oral Roberts, came to a point where he found out that you can engage the principle of Genesis 8:22, that as far as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and so on shall not cease. And he found out that when you add to your speaking, you tie a seed and tie it to the law of seed time and harvest, he saw that his results were amplified because he was engaging a principle that God had put. And it became the core teaching of the word of faith. How that you speak, you release the creative power of God's word. Hallelujah. And then you back it up with a seed, an expression of your heart and your sacrifice. And we examine that this is a dimension that is obtainable in God. The only challenge that the word of faith brings to the body, if not handled carefully, is that I said it last week, week before last, that because of the lucrative nature, are you listening to me? People come and sow seeds, and I mean, why will the man of God not enjoy this dimension of ministry? If every Sunday you are sowing seeds and you are bringing, I can use different scriptures to manipulate you into giving all kinds of seeds and so on and so forth. We'll talk more on that in the Gospel of Prosperity. So there has been an abuse of the manifestation, and people just come and they just talk it, and they don't do anything. They don't abide by the principles. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and to do, not to speak, to observe and to do all that I commanded this day, that all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Hallelujah. So there is an observance. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. That's one. It said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe to do all that is written therein. He said, then shall your ways be prosperous and you shall have good success. Joshua 1 verse 8. So we saw that it's not just enough to just talk and say, now that I've spoken and I've dropped a seed, everything is all right. It's not necessarily true. Hallelujah. That there are principles that we need to engage in. Right? So that was the summary of the word of faith. The tape is there. You can get it. The gospel of holiness. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see God. And I taught us that men began to explore certain dimensions of God because of the outbreak of carnality in the church. We had all kinds of things. The house of God being turned into a den of robbers, being turned into a place of joke and play, you know. And Christ is not exalted, is not lifted. And certain people began to question and say, no. Because of the abundance and blessings that God was bringing to people, people forgot about God, you know, and they began to serve themselves, build empires for themselves. And the Bible says, and holiness, without which no man will see God. Hallelujah. And I buttressed on what holiness was. I think let me just state it very clearly. I said holiness is twofold. Number one, holiness is the reality that is furnished in the human spirit as a result of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's first called holy before spirit. Hallelujah. Scriptural proof, Exodus chapter 3. Moses sees a bush. He had been there all the time. A dirty bush. And is now on fire and will not be burned. And he comes near and the Lord tells him, remove your shoe, for where you stand has suddenly become a holy ground. Nobody swept it. Nobody cleaned the leaves. The presence of God makes things holy. So when it comes upon you, that nature of holiness comes upon you. And then I told us that there is a second dimension. And this is where a lot of people are not careful to observe the balance. Hallelujah. The book of Zechariah, the Bible talks about Joshua, the high priest. He said he was standing before God. Although he was a high priest, his garment was stained. And Satan came to accuse him. And what happened? Bible says Satan was rebuked. Correct? But God did not leave him that way. He said he should remove the garment. So there is a doing. Are you listening to me? On account of what Christ has done, there is an enabling grace to walk. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And we did examine certain things, how that living a life of holiness is cardinal to receiving the blessings of God. Bible says, if all our hope is in this life alone, we are of all men most miserable. So we emphasized separating religion from holiness. And then we express the fact that the ultimate goal of holiness is not to compare people to people and say this person is doing this, this person is doing that. But that a life of true holiness brings you to a point where you have love for people. If you claim to be holy and you do not love God's people, you are a hypocrite. Hallelujah. I'm running because I need us to... Then we got to the teaching on Satan, demons, and deliverance. What is theologically called demonology. The study of Satan, the operation and the organization of the satanic kingdom. Hallelujah. I expressed to us that certain believers began to explore God. And this dimension was opened primarily by prayer and prophetic ministries because of their natural inclination to the realm of the spirit. Either through visions, through dreams, through prophetic encounters, spending hours and days in the spirit. And so their eyes will be open and then they will have a lot of encounters. Hallelujah. And they began to find out that certain teachings that seem to trivialize some things about Satan and the knowledge of spiritual things were not exactly correct for the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:11 is the anchor scripture. It said, for we are not unaware of the devil's devices. So the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. And great servants of God like Dr. D.K. Olukoya and CAC and great prayer ministries began to explore this dimension of God. And they began to tell the body, hey, hold on. You people are trivializing too many things. I think you should reconsider one or two things. Especially for the teaching that say, once someone is born again, you are in Christ. That's all right, nothing. But they found out that certain people who, although they were born again, although they were tongue-talking, they saw certain levels of demonic influences in their lives. And it began to raise questions. And these men saw in the spirit that there are pastors who were still suffering with things like masturbation, suffering with things like gay lifestyle and the rest. He said, but these guys are anointed. They are healing the sick. That means that there is something more. Are you following me now? And they began to explore to let us know that, look, oh, this initial salvation is only the beginning. It's not the end. That Satan can be able to leech in the souls of men. And that it takes the same power to be activated in the soulical realm to bring a man to that dimension that the spirit has experienced. And so we began to explore scriptures like 1 Peter 1 verse 9, he said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And so we found out that the salvation of the spirit is not enough. The Bible talks about the salvation of the soul. Then it talks about the consummation of all things, the salvation of the body. Hallelujah. So it led people to begin to study how that there can be certain things that can exist, like generational curses, spirit husband, spirit wife, ancient curses, and all kinds of things. And over time, these men that explored this dimension brought forth certain levels of results. There were people who were delivered from the power of darkness and brought genuine testimonies that they were involved in causing some of these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then we see that Jesus himself, I told you four things characterize the ministry of Jesus. Number one, he preached. Number two, he taught. Number three, he healed the sick. Number four, he casted out devils. This was consistent. Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3. You read all through, you see it. He preached, he taught, he healed the sick, he casted out devils. In Matthew chapter 10, when he was sending the disciples, he sent them forth and he told them, he said, go, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. When he was reading his mandate in Luke chapter 4 from verse 17, when the scroll, the book of Isaiah was given to him, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. When he looked in Luke 12 to the woman who was bowed, he looked at her, and from the Spirit he saw that this woman had been tied. And he said, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. That means that infirmity was a spirit. The Bible says when he came back from his transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, he saw the disciples struggling with one man's child. And the guy was epileptic. And the Bible says Jesus rebuked a deaf and dumb spirit from an epileptic patient. The Bible never tells us the guy was not speaking. But Jesus looked and saw that there was an operation and he could detect the spirit that was at work. On his way to Gadara, the sea began to be boisterous. And we understand that it was not just water. It was the demons who were trying to make the journey futile. Because as soon as he crossed to Gadara, a madman was waiting for him there. The Bible says the guy was mad and he stayed in caves. Who told him Jesus was coming? The first people to greet him was the legion, the man and the legions of darkness. Hallelujah. And so we see that it would be stupid for you to assume that it's not necessary, all these things people are talking about demons. No. The ministry of deliverance is key to the church. The church does not know so much about the ministry of deliverance, either because it has not been taught properly or it has been exaggerated. And this is why we are considering the full gospel. Are you following me? We stopped from there last week, so let's continue. Help us, Holy Spirit. Facts about Satan, demons, and deliverance. Now, it's not my goal to make you angry tonight, but if that happens, please, I'm sorry. Let me apologize before time. Hallelujah. Because this is a sensitive topic and we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to say a lot of things that may not be... I know there are different churches represented here. There are deliverance ministries represented here. Whatever it is, let's look at the word of God. These are not my opinions. Hallelujah. Facts about Satan. Number one. Satan was an archangel. He was a cherub, really. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. They fell from their original estate and were judged according to Revelations. There was war in heaven, and Satan, Lucifer, that was his name before the fall. The son of the morning, the Bible calls him. He was the cherub closest to God. An act of pride and rebellion got him to a point where he said, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. And there was war in heaven. The Bible says the dragon fought and Michael fought and he prevailed not and he was casted to the earth. And there was a lamentation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because Satan had been casted to the earth. Hallelujah. And then he began to deceive man and so on and so forth. So number one, Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. Please deliver yourself tonight. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. Oh, Satan did this to me. No, it's not Satan. Hallelujah. Two, Satan is not omniscient. Satan does not know all things. Let me give you two scriptural proofs quickly. One from Old Testament, one from New Testament. When Moses was born, Satan had been scouting for the seed of the woman. He did not know exactly who the seed was. and he suspected it was Moses. So he moved through the heart of Pharaoh, and what happened? All the children were killed. That tells me there is a lot of experiments there. If Satan was omniscient, he will know exactly. Is that correct? And then in the New Testament, when Jesus was born, same thing happened. You see that? Move through Herod. So Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. That's not true. There are some things Satan does not know. Hallelujah. For instance, when we pray in tongues, there are some things Satan does not know. The Bible says eyes have not seen. It didn't say human eyes. It said eyes. Any eye at all has not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of any man. So Satan does not know what God has prepared for them that love God. It is exclusively the Holy Ghost. The way Satan knows the things that are about to happen to you is because of certain operations that happen in the realm of the spirit. For instance, an unusual manifestation of angels. When they saw the star, Satan said something is happening somewhere. Start tracing the star. Hallelujah. So for many of you who have been taught that Satan knows everything about me, it's not true. You may want to ask, so how do false prophets know certain things about people? It's a simple operation of spiritual laws. In this realm, we are bounded by three dimensions. In the realm of the spirit, there are more than three dimensions. Are you listening to me? And because of the existence of certain dimensions, you can tap into certain things, past, present, and future. These things are not necessary. They are not luxury in the realm of the spirit. So by act of divination and sorcery, they can peep into certain dimensions of the future, and people can come in with some words, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's of God. Hallelujah. Moses threw his rod, he became a serpent. What happened? Pharaoh brought his own rod to and he became a serpent. Okay? Satan is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. I beg you, believe this revelation. Satan is not all powerful. I need to preach this to you, because I'm irritated at the emphasis that people have given, especially prophets. They talk so much about the satanic kingdom and how powerful Satan is. And I was in the spirit and I saw this great beast. I'm telling you, you cannot imagine. This beast was so powerful. And the people are watching it as if they're in a cinema. That's it, and he came and the people are running back. They're saying, you mean the demon came? And you can't go back home again, because in your mind you're imagining that mental picture. So how is the tale like? And we use all kinds of graphic images in church. And we say, though I walk through the valley. And the person is imagining a valley. And forever they keep imagining a valley, even in the daytime. Hallelujah. It is true that we shouldn't be unaware of Satan's devices. But what is it about Satan that is important to the church? Quickly, Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18. We're exploring the word. Luke 10:18. Well, let me start from verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, hallelujah. Have you opened it? I want you to read it. Are you ready? Want to read? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. Stop. He said, even who? Are subject to who? Us. Say, demons are subject to me. Say, demons are subject to me. The 70 came back and they were surprised. They said, Lord, even the demons, we thought is only, even the demons are subject to us. That means it wasn't only demons that were subject, because they even, that means there was something else. Hallelujah. And Jesus tells us what that something else is. 10 verse 19 or verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. Do what? Satan is defeated. Say it after me. Satan is defeated. He's not being defeated. He's not going to be defeated. You must get this revelation. Satan has been defeated. So when we pray and when we declare God's word, what are we doing? We are establishing that victory in our lives. We are establishing it. Because Satan will not keep quiet. He will not give up. Although he's a defeated foe, he runs through and fro. Can I tell you something? Look up, please. It is possible for a man to be free of the attacks of Satan. There's no time I would have shown you where Satan himself gave a testimony in Job chapter 1. Satan came, the sons of God gathered, and the Bible says Satan was among them. And the Lord asked him, he said, where are you coming from? He said, to and fro, proves that he's not omnipresent. Correct? He said, from moving to and fro the earth. He said, in the midst of your voyage around the world, did you ever come across a man called Job? He said, of course. And Satan said, I testify that I could not do anything about that man. He said, have you not blessed him and built a hedge round about? In other words, Satan tried through every means. And he said, I give up. And he was reporting Job to God. He said, it is true that a man can be so fortified that I did not penetrate him. So keep that teaching that tells you that, oh, one day somewhere. No. It is possible. Jesus lived that kind of life. Say amen. Say after me, Satan is fallen. 19. Or let's leave 19. We are coming back there. The ministry of deliverance. What is deliverance? Please look up. Comes from the word deliver. What does it mean to deliver? Ladies. What does it mean to deliver? Are you joking? What does it mean to deliver? It doesn't necessarily mean to bring forth. It means to take out of where the person is. It's not everything you bring forth. Some things leave. You don't bring forth demons. You bring forth miracles. You bring forth new levels. You cast out demons. Hallelujah. So, deliverance is the operation of the anointing of the Spirit or the operation of the Holy Ghost that separates a man from whatever challenge, whatever demonic influence or satanic predicaments that attempt to influence that person's life by the name and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called deliverance. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, Obadiah 1:17, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. And because of the deliverance and the holiness, what will happen? The people of God will possess their possessions. That means between you and your possession, at times Satan will stand to block. But when there is that deliverance, deliverance does not necessarily mean taking a demon out of a man. Hallelujah. Deliverance means being saved, preserved, taken away from situations that will stop you from walking in the reality of what God has destined for you. Hallelujah. We see deliverance all over scripture. In Matthew 8 verse 16, the Bible says, and he casted out the devils with his word. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He sent forth his word. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important. I need you to know this. Demons exist. Satan exists. And there's all kinds of strata of satanic kingdom. What's their job? To thwart the plan and the agenda of God. The universal counsel of God. And to thwart the destinies of men. They use all kinds of things. sickness, failure, delay, defeat, everywhere. You just name it. There are numerous demons and spirits and all kinds of things. In one man, there was a legion. You can imagine. One man. A legion in one man. It tells you how many they are. But just when the servant was overwhelmed by the army, Elisha said, "Oh God, open his eyes that he will know." I hope you realize that Satan fell with 1/3 of the angels. That means there's 2/3. For every one demon, one fallen angel, there are 2 angels that are alive and strong. And the Bible did not tell us God has stopped creating them. It said, "For thou hast created all things." He said, "They are and they were and are being created." God has not stopped creation. Are you listening to me? It is exclusively within his ability to keep creating, for he upholds all things by the word of his power. Are you getting blessed? So this is very important for you to know. Can you imagine? I thought we'd be able to cover so much. Okay. So the ministry of deliverance is not to be despised. There are many of you that have certain challenges and habits and things in your life, and you need the intervention of God. You need the intervention of the word. Listen to me. The primary tool of deliverance is God's word. Say God's word. Not prophets. Not mantles. Not pure water. Not anointing oil. Those things are prophetic symbolisms. Are you listening to me? We're not castigating them. If they are used with revelation, they can produce results. But I'm saying you need to realize, I've done a teaching about the word of God, the living logos. Please get the teaching. He casted out the devils with his word. Hallelujah. So how do we get free from the influence of demons? Oh, hold on. I need to tell you this. There are 3 levels of demonic operations and influences over the lives of people. Number 1 is what we call possession. Total control of that individual. That's what we get in the case of those who have sold their souls to devils. Sorcerers, certain witches who have made covenants with they've sold their soul literally. They are under the full weight and the influence of demons. They have become oracles. Hallelujah. The remedy for that level of acute possession in your spirit is new birth, salvation. Let me tell you something. No matter how much you lay hands and cast out devils from a man, if that person is not born again and he does not accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, you only wasted your time. I have found out that many deliverance ministries are not concerned about the salvation of the victims. They are just concerned about manifestation. Hold on, we are getting there. There is the doctrine of power and the charismatic move of the spirit. We are going to get there. There are many people who are just excited. And people just cough out all kinds of things. And the prophet is laughing, he's standing, King of kings and Lord of lords. 2 weeks again, you see the same person come back. Full of demons, because Jesus gave us a mystery. He said, when a demon leaves a man, what happens? He goes through arid regions looking for a place of refuge and not finding any. What happens? He says, let me arise and go back to my house. He called it his house. So that means that you have been delivered does not mean Satan will stop seeing that it's his house. As far as he's concerned, he went on sabbatical. He said, let me visit again and find out what is happening. He said he will come and find it swept, clean, but what? Empty. And the Bible says, behold, I stand and I knock. There is a vacuum that only Jesus Christ can fill. There are many deliverance cases that the solution is for the people to be born again. Hallelujah. I've led people to Christ, and the moment they are confessing Jesus Christ, you see all kinds of manifestations, of course, because light cannot dwell with darkness. Are you listening to me? So don't just get excited every time you touch somebody and the person starts manifesting and say, hey, snake, hey, tortoise, hey, cobra, hey, this, hey, that, hey, giraffe, hey, this. Beyond those manifestations, is the person born again? If the person is not born again, the demons run away because of the light and the anointing of God. But the person leaves and they will come back. So we have people consistently struggling. All kinds of people, they are not born again. They are not willing to be serious with God. Again and again, the same people coughing out tortoise, coughing out worms, coughing out everything that they can cough out. Nobody will buy any bucket here for anybody. And I mean what I said. I mean it seriously. Nobody is buying any bucket for anybody. The demons can go out. If you vomit, we'll pack it. But we will not encourage that manifestation. The demons can go out. You didn't necessarily eat anything for them to come. They can leave. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You see the reason why I don't believe in all those carnal things? Because the Bible says it's not about carnal things. Ejimi gave us a story some years ago about, I think was it, he came to set the captives free. What's her name? Rebecca Brown. She came for a deliverance session in Lagos. And when she came, she said, remember the story? She said, in the name of Jesus, every demon here, go. And then when she finished preaching, Nigerians were disappointed. The prayer people say, nah, this thing has not finished. Then the pastor came up. Say, madam, thank you so much for what you have done. But in Nigeria here, we believe in warming ourselves. More, everybody stand up, come on. And when they shook themselves, more say, hey, now this thing has happened. Now, of course, oftentimes, because of the activity that happens, you can't just sit and say, Satan, I would really love you to leave. Do you mind? It doesn't happen that way. Hallelujah. It doesn't happen that way. Psalm 66. He said, through the greatness of thy power. He said, how awesome are your works, O Lord. He said, through the greatness of thy power will thy enemies submit themselves to you. It won't just happen because you can laugh. Through the greatness. Power must be generated in the spirit. Through the greatness of your power will the enemies submit themselves. You don't just come and say, Satan. The Bible says no man will enter a house and spoil that house without first doing what? Binding the strong man. So when you see us praying and say, Satan, get lost. Oedipo wrote a book called Satan, Get Lost. Many of you say, yeah, all these things are they necessary. Okay. Oh. Praise God. How do we get free from Satan? James 4 verse 7. This is the major reason why Satan has access to the lives of people. Let's run. James. James 4 verse 7. Anybody there? Please. Hold on. Submit yourselves therefore. This is God now giving us a recommendation through his servant. Yes, sir. He says, submit yourself therefore to what? To God. Hold on. Many people resist the devil and he doesn't flee. You know why? We don't complete that scripture. What's the first step? Submit yourself. He said, come under his governing authority. Submit yourselves first to God. And then when that has been done, he said, resist the devil and he will flee. You see where we have been missing it? Oh, Satan, I bind you. Oh, Satan, I bind you. Oh, Satan, I beg you. Oh, Satan, please, please, please. Oh, yeah, please, please. I will not shout again. Just go. There are many of you, Well, I don't believe here, but there are many believers suffering from all kinds of things. Many of you cannot sleep in the night. I told you I used to be oppressed by demons. True life story. As soon as I lie down to sleep, I would literally, spirits, they'll just enter my room. Free flow. I don't know whether it was because of me or my unbelieving roommate. But I was also not a believer, you see. I mean, I was born again, but it used to be very bad. Every time it was evening, I would just know that it was in court, lawn tennis court. Light entered my spirit. Hallelujah. I found that scripture that said, I have given you authority. Luke 10:19. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I give you power over snakes. Come on now, snake spirit, over snakes. Thank God he was the first to be mentioned there. Scorpions. And how many? All. Say after me, all. Because for some of you, it's some. Over all the powers of the enemy. He said, and nothing shall by any means. You are English students and you went to school. What does any means mean? Any method, any way, through food, through dream. If I have a dream and I eat, I sure know that it's God that gave me that food. No devil will give me anything to eat. But there are many of you that dream and you see all kinds of satanic things. And you laugh about it, but it's really satanic because you've not taken your ground. Let me tell you something. Take this thing seriously. Many of you have not taken out time to address some things in your life. You keep laughing about it and you say it's not serious. I warned the devil since. I warned him since. Hallelujah. You must take some time. Maybe this will be the week that you go and lock yourself alone and say, Satan, men of God have been speaking to you on my behalf, but I want to talk to you by myself today. Let me tell you something. This is the first. No, well, it's not the first. This is the last time. Enough of that devilish oppression. And you don't just speak and say, because my name is Joshua. The word, it is written. It is written. Authority have been given unto me against principalities, against powers. And in the name of Jesus, I confront this devil. I confront this situation. Lift up your heads, O ye gate. You need to settle some things in your life. Many of you just watch things happen. Things are not going right and you are just laughing. You just say, one day I know my God is alive. You will be very surprised. If you don't take a step. The Bible says the people saw Jesus Christ and they tore the zinc. And said, we have given ourselves the date of miracle today. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to go and lock up yourself and find scriptures. And end some things in your life once and for all. Say amen. Amen. There are many preachers who will not admit this. But you look at their lives and you see them being victims of certain things. Although they are preachers. Although they are men of God. They can't look at a lady and go free. Lie. They can heal. They can do everything. That you are a new creation in Christ. Listen to me. That you are a new creation in Christ does not mean you stand upon God's word. But let me tell you what I do not believe about deliverance. Listen to me. I can't be binding Satan every day of my life. There are more important things to do. It's not a sin, but it's a weight that can be done away with. There are many of us that all we think about is Satan, what he can do. I woke up this morning. I listened to a man of God, E.A. Adeboye. He said he went somewhere and before the meeting they bounded and casted devils. And then he was going to have a meeting with the leaders and they were bounding again. He called the pastor. He said, I thought we just did that some hours ago. Listen, many of us have insulted God too much. We make it look like if you ask, God is helpless, Satan can bounce into your life any day, anytime. Look up, please. Somebody moves on the road and matches a charm, correct? Did the person believe the charm will affect him? But the charm still affects him. So if Satan can veto somebody's faith and step in, and God stakes his reputation, somebody matches a charm without knowing, and suddenly his leg starts swelling. This is Satan making your faith nonsense. And then the Bible calls the word of God a more sure word of prophecy. And then we do it and say, just hold on, you don't know how Satan can come. I mean, this life. Don't insult my God. Are you listening to me? Don't insult my God. I believe I have taken many poisons in my life. We've gone from place to place. I've eaten everything they gave me. It's only when we get to heaven or one day if God opens my eyes that I will see. I may not know how many people have taken my names to native doctors' shrines. I know I've seen it a number of times. See, let me tell you something. Change your mindset. Tell your neighbor, change your mindset. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are noble, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did he tell you to do? Think on these things. What are you thinking on? Many of us are angry with our roommates, angry with our friends. Your life has become madness because everything you see dust on your shoes, you look and say, this dust, why is it on one side? Oh God, clean your shoes and move forward. Don't make God look like an idiot. He gave you authority. Regardless of what it is, you have authority. A lot of people come to cast out devils. Who are you? What is your name? When did you enter this body? What did you do this? They may not be, it may not be wrong, but it's a weight. I tell you the truth, it's a weight. If we spend, I've seen meetings, we spend hours doing deliverance and we spend so little time teaching the word. A man of God is prophesying from morning till evening and then they just do a little exhortation of 20 minutes and the prophet said, now I need to move in my office, and people say yes. They would die as a congregation. It's the word of God. You see, I found your word and I did eat them. Hallelujah. You empower the church by giving them the revelation of God's word that will set them above. Are you listening to me? So I have a serious problem with ministries that all they do, morning till night, all they do is just prophecy and casting out devils. Demons are rolling morning till night. Can't the people be taught the word of God? Do you really believe in the power of the word? Now, I'm not saying there's no place. There is. We do that miracle service. But we spend 3 weeks doing what? Teaching you the word. It says, you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You must get to a point where you are full of God's word. Only God knows how many charm we have matched. Only God knows how many. They found a snake one time in my ceiling and they called some people from ABU to come. Okay, I don't know who was around. They came and did the I didn't know they used jazz. I asked the guy, where is this thing for this? He just brought out one thing and showed me. I say, hey, my man, I say, wonders shall never end. We'll see. The guy was disappointed. The guy was, that thing didn't work. Oh, it didn't work around my vicinity. It didn't work. The light shines in darkness. I said, because the guy swore he put that in. He said, we won't see that snake. In the evening, I saw the snake again. And God was letting me know that this thing that happened is drama. The guy vowed. The neighbor said that every time the guy comes, he's a popular guy, he calls the snake by their jars and the snake comes out. That guy called the snake, they put all kinds of things, it didn't work. And I said, all right, Lord, St. Patrick casted out snake from Ireland. I just need it around my vicinity. Don't come back here again. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? I have given you authority. Let this enter your spirit. You are a bank of power. I have given you authority. Believe it. One of our ladies went to a native doctor one time. For whatever reason, I do not know. The guy said she should bring 30,000 and goat and other things. And then he gave her something to go and bath with. And when she went to bath with, it disappeared. She ran to him and said, Baba, it has disappeared. He said, there's trouble. And then she just said, she'll come and confess and meet me. When she met me, I said, go and tell the native doctor. I'm not going to pray for you first. Go and tell him that Joshua Selman said he should check in the realm of the spirit and see the person talking to him. That if you ever harass you again, they will take his dead body out of his shrine. If you have not seen the burning bush, don't stand before Pharaoh. You will die like a chicken. Hallelujah. We have gone for crusades, men of God. And we have seen the wonder-working power of God. You see us cast out devils after Koinonia. And I have a sound sleep given by God every night. If I'm awake, it's because I'm walking. If the devil wakes me, I won't wake up. I will ask him, what concern Agbero with overload? I won't quarrel him and say, go. Get out of my presence. I mean what I'm saying. Many of you say, keep talking like this. I've been saying this thing for years. Is it not true? I've been saying this thing for years. Please ask them, they will confirm it. Today we are flying on the wings of evil, of eagles, as if Satan does not exist. You think it's his goal for you to come here? Look at the salvations and the rest. So that devil that has been knocking your zinc, ask him, come down. Come down. Why are you disturbing me? He wants to put in you the spirit of fear. How do you react? No. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I declare sound sleep this night by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you lie down and sleep. Go for a crusade and come back and start crying and say, hey, there's going to be a fight back. I said it when we were preparing for Pangshin crusade, if you remember. I said, Satan has always wanted to kill you. He didn't just start liking to kill you on your way to a crusade ground. Let me tell you something. A trace of Satan's wickedness is seen in Boko Haram. They will kill anybody when they have the opportunity. That Satan has not killed you, it's not that he doesn't want to. He cannot. We travel all the time to different places. I've said it here. Even if Satan drives my car, I will go. I will tell him, take me to so place. Are you not afraid of Satan? This is the mindset I want to deliver you from. That mindset. Say, look at the statements you are making. They are hearing you. Oh, There was a confession. Now there are some people that used to come for Koinonia. One occult person, he came and met me one time to confess. He's not around. They said they have been watching me for years. That's what he said. They said they watched me when I went to South Africa. While I was snapping with Kobus, they were watching. When I was having my retreat, he said, we watched you. For 72 hours, your eyes did not see daylight. We watched you when you were praying, beginning to end. And I said, happy viewing. I asked him a question. Listen, truth story. I think his brother may be here. I said, when you people come for Koinonia, what happens to you? He says they hang on from a far distance and stand and watch because of the fire of God. How many of you remember the guy, Sadiq Ibrahim? Remember his story? Sadiq Ibrahim was outside. This guy slept in the graveyard for 3 days to collect the power of invincibility. 3 days he was outside. When I stood on the platform here, what happened? He said, when he saw people falling, he looked and he said, yes, there's power in this place. He said, whether it's demonic power or whatever power, there is power. Because he has slept and he knows the equivalent of the sacrifice it takes to get that power. Let me tell you something, friends. Not all human beings are equal. There are terrestrial beings. There are celestial beings. Ask demons. I don't have time for demons and Satan and nonsense. He casted them with his word. Many of you have been watching demons fly freely in your family and you are just laughing. What are you there for? Say, I have authority over Satan. Hallelujah. We don't have time. I really wanted to touch on the gospel of prosperity. I thought I'll be able to end tonight with the gospel of prosperity. It's 9 o'clock already. Let me just see. We didn't even do anything. Oh, hallelujah! How time flies. So, why do you sleep in some of your churches? 30 minutes you are asleep, and you are looking at the time. I'm not mocking anybody, but I'm saying nothing can replace lack of fire, not your suit, not eloquence, not shouting. Because I've seen Adeboye just talk and threw out a Holy Ghost night vigil. People are wide awake. And I've seen other people jacking and the other person is sleeping. It's until the pastor comes and says, I said this. And again, the guy wakes up. And he shouts alone, yes! And they say, yes, for what? Hallelujah. That's why we pray. We don't want a fireless ministry. Hallelujah. Have you received something tonight? The word of God is supposed to make you powerful. I want you to leave here tonight with the revelation that you have authority over devils. If you don't believe this, I don't know how to help you again. We have magnified Satan too much. It's too much. It's even irritating. Too much. Many of us have the list of all kinds of demons in our books. How many names of God have you written in your book? Jesus defeated Satan. I was not there, but his spirit bears witness that he was not lying to me. And I believe it. Do you believe it? Saints of God, do you believe it? See, because we need to bring this issue of Satan and demons, we need to clarify it once and for all. Can you get angry with yourself and use this week to pray and say, Satan, I'm ready to stand upon the word of God. See, many of you go to Satan and when you get there or to wherever, you now start saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, leave. What is your scriptural basis? Say after me, it is written. That must be, there must be. The Bible says, Isaiah 40 verse 41, it said, present your case, said the Lord, bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth your strong reasons. Present your case. We used to call in the campus then a court, lawn tennis court. What do you do in the court? It wasn't because they used to play basketball there. It was a place where we settle issues through the power of God's word. Those days you see people, somebody will come with his Bible and lie down first for 2 hours searching the scripture. One year's He has gotten it. He will line it up. Say, now hear me, Satan. It is written. There are many of you who are dying of many things. Satan is having a free ride through your life. You say, it's like that. In our families, like that. When will it end? Hello? When will it end? He said, next miracle service will jump and come. And the demons stand there and wait. And you come and then they finish. They can't come here. I assure you, they won't come here. And then when you go back there, what happens? There are many of us, your own issue is you have refused to be born again. Every time they talk about being born again, you just say, no. My name is Joshua. And Joshua is the Hebrew form, Jehoshua. The same as Jesus. I'm Jesus's namesake. And you will not get born again. The Bible says, in the day that you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's the problem with a lot of people. Or you are born again, oh, but you are not on fire. You are lukewarm. Satan can ride in and out of your life. Prayer life, zero. Word life, zero. Obedience to God's principles, zero. Bishop Oyedepo always says something that I love. He says, no matter how mad a man is, he will never enter fire by mistake. No matter, the guy is mad, they say, give way. If he sees fire, he will move this way. No matter how mad a man is, he knows fire when he sees it. And the Bible says, he maketh his angel spirits and his ministers what? Flames. Like Reinhard Bonnke, he says, evangelism by fire. This is not just the kind of fire we preach today. That one is the real fire. Real fire. Say, I'm on fire for God. Say it, I'm on fire for God. See, you must be too hot for Satan. I pity the person who calls my name in a shrine. The shrine person will die for nothing. It's not that I killed the person. It's the natural consequence. I'm telling you. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. God cannot be lying. A man of God went for a meeting, and when he came in the morning, he saw that they caught chicken. No, he just entered his room and came out and he saw chicken. He said, "Who dropped this chicken here?" And then he smiled. He said, "Thank you, Jesus." He had been fasting and he had been praying. True life story. The guy was so happy. Said, "Yes, Lord." Once again, God used the stupidity of witches to answer the prayer of his servant. The guy pieces that thing and he ate it. I'm telling you. Yes, he did. He ate it. He gave thanks. The Bible says, give thanks and eat. We are going to pray. He gave thanks. Archbishop Benson Idahosa, he went to preach somewhere. Wild man on fire. When he came out, he saw a calabash. He just clapped his hands. He carried the calabash. He said, "Who dropped this calabash?" His fear was for the person, not for himself. He said, "Who dropped this calabash?" Everybody kept quiet. He said, "I'm begging now. Who dropped this calabash? Because if I release it to fall down, the person would die." And that was how he released it. As soon as he dropped, the person died there. Hallelujah. I had a testimony that happened some months ago. I think a thief came to steal in Canaan land. And he was hiding behind a tree. And Oyedepo was speaking and he shouted from the altar. And the man fell down there and died instantly. He died there. Say, "I'm too hot for Satan." Say it. Some of you are afraid of saying it. I have given you authority. That's why we smile our way to the miracle service every week. No pressure whatsoever. No pressure whatsoever. There are many men of God, when they come, you see them sweating. When they see some kinds of Bishop Oyedepo had one guy who was harassing people, and he told the guy, "Enter the car." He drove with him to one place by, I think, 12 or 1 a.m. in the night, and told the witch to come out. He told him, "Come out." He said, "Now, anything I tell you to do, do it. It's only me and here." The Satan is called the prince of darkness. Here is dark, me and you. He said, "Now lie down." And the guy lay down. He said, "Where is he?" He said, he cannot come here. He said, as long as you are in the world, you are the light of the world. As long as you are in the light. As long as you are in... Believe this, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, your journey will be very long in life. Believe this. I refuse to believe. Nobody will preach me into exalting Satan above Jesus Christ. No, sir. See, let me tell you. I have seen demons in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Don't you think I'm just talking? Oh, I've seen demons. And they are intimidating. When you see the strong, there are certain demons that are about 32 feet. 32 feet. You see them. Many of you don't pray, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. You only share the grace and roam around making noise. When David saw Goliath, he said, Goliath, I come to you in a name. The emir of Zozo some years ago, they could not admit one guy in NDA because he was too short. There's the height and he was too short. And they said, we can't take you. You've passed the test. And the guy was angry and they brought the case to the emir. And the emir said, go and tell the commandant that the emir of Zozo has added the height of this boy. And they took him in. Come on now. Talk of connection. That's how God added the height of David. Goliath said, am I a dog? He said, hold on, you will know. He said, let me tell you what I will do to you. This is how it will happen. I will use this sling and take your head. Afterwards, I will remove your head and I will give it to the dead. Are you ready? At least let me give you the privilege of knowing how you will die. Who art thou, uncircumcised Philistines? The Bible says, when you stand, say, who art thou, mountain? See, many of you are insulting God. You are always thinking of what Satan can do, what you will do, which spirit is coming now. Can you not think of the majesty of God? Can you not think of, the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Rise up on your feet. Let's pray for 5 minutes. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Say, Lord, light has come to me right now. Rakataka patakata baladaba. I know certain things about Satan right now. He is not all powerful. Say, Satan, you have been deceiving me, making me esteem you as the Almighty. But tonight, by revelation, I know you are not the Almighty. Katakabaladabosha, mambrekatakalebosa. I have been given authority. Pray. Mantekala katebaskobaria. Over snakes, over scorpions, over curses, over activities of witchcraft, over the manifestations of the devil. Lift your voice and pray. Even the lawful captives, the captives of the mighty shall be delivered. He said, I will contend with them that contend with you. I will contend with them that contend with you. And I will give you peace. I will contend with them that contend with you. Go ahead and pray. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end. But I know whom I have believed. Rekatabalatabosa. Satan, get lost. Lift your voice now and pray. Say, Satan, take your hands off my life. Pray it. For it is written, even the demons are subject to me in the name of Jesus. ahead and declare, thou devil of depression, thou devil of depression, terminal disease, manifestations of witchcraft in my life and in my family, your reign is terminated tonight. Come on, pray. You are in the house of God, and upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness. Every devil, every demon, every spirit standing in my way, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, give way. Come on, pray. Say, Lord, I'm anointed, I'm powerful. The reign of Satan ends in my life. Hallelujah. 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 What you don't confront, you will never conquer. In the next 1 minute, we are going to pray. There are some things that have lingered in your life. Some devilish dreams, some demonic oppressions. You've been laughing about it. People come to press you, sleep with you in the night. You are laughing, but you know you are a victim of these things. All kinds of objects, demonic nonsense. People are going to heaven. You are going to hell. Hell in the earth. Because of all kinds of things. You can't sleep in the night. You hear voices. Many of you hallucinate. Many of you do all kinds of devilish things. Right now, with your own mouth and your own authority, I'd like you to lift your voice. Get angry. Come on, get angry and pray. I have been given authority over snakes, scorpions. Please pray. Every devil that harasses you in the night, you are upon Mount Zion, where there is deliverance. I'm above thrones, dominions, powers, every name that is named, every name. Satan, I have no business with you. You have no business in my life. Pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One scripture, last prayer point. Psalm 66. I love Psalm 66, a rich verse. I want to give you a scripture that you use to pray this week. How many of you are getting angry in your spirit? I hope you are not just getting excited for nothing. You will die. You will die. Every day you keep hearing the voice. You will die. You can't go out. You can't. Some of you have stopped biking. You will die. There are many of you that hear all kinds of suicidal voices. Go and hang yourself. And you are even contemplating. Even if I'm not born again, that spirit won't work in my life. Hang myself. I love myself. I love myself so much. Are you there? Thank you, Jesus. Capra diga bolando kriasti barai. Verse 3. We're going to read it together. Psalm 66, verse 3. Are you there? One to read. Say unto God, through the greatness of thy power, shall your enemies do what? Shall your enemies do what? He said, Lord, how marvelous are your works? They are all inspiring. He didn't say the enemies will subject because your teeth is white and you can shout. He said, through the greatness of your power. Through the greatness. And the Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. So the power is working in me. Say, the power is working in me. Now you are going to pray. It says, even the demons were subject. What does it mean, subject? They will do whatever you tell them to go. You tell them, go. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And Revelation 5 verse 10 says that we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth. See, when you do not have knowledge of the word, Satan will make a mess of your life. We are going to pray right now. You're going to say, Lord, the greatness of your power is at work in me. Therefore, every devil that makes himself an enemy to my destiny, he will submit to me. Go ahead and pray. Please pray. Lift your voice. The way some of you are praying, you really don't want breakthroughs in your life. This is the last prayer point. Say unto God, how awe-inspiring are thy ways. Through the greatness of thy power, will your enemies submit? Will devils, will situations? It takes a force, an ability, an agency of power, an agency. Make sure you are praying. Now, lay your hands on your head and prophesy, I'm untouchable. Begin to pray. Say, I anoint my head by myself, in the name of Jesus. No devil, no man trouble me. I bear upon my body the marks of Christ. No spirit of death. Ratakata balataya. Prophesy, I shall not die. No devil born in hell will make me cut short my life. No devil will make me abort my destiny. Pray. No devil in hell. No devil in hell. No devil in hell. No devil in hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Look up. Look up. Look up. Sorry, we'll pray one more time. I know our time is gone. But listen. You are going to pray and say, no man born of a woman can take my life when it's not my time. This is what I believe. I've said this for years. Please, I'd like you to pray. Not ambrobas, not bombs, not the sword. Say it. Don't keep quiet. No man, if that man was created, kababakata, through the greatness, oh God, of the power that you have given me, through the greatness of the power that you have given me, through the greatness of the power that you have given me, every enemy submits. Batatatakata, rababoko tobaya. I live long. I live strong. I live prosperous. Pray for ENI. Pray for Koinonia. No devil in hell. No devil in hell. The Lord is building his church. The gates of hell cannot prevail. For it is written, see, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. See, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. See, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. Through the greatness of thy power. Through the greatness of thy power will your enemies submit themselves. I saw Satan fall. Satan, you are fallen in my life. Satan, you are fallen. Your power is broken. I'm shining in the light of the Lord, in the glory of God. 1,000 shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right side. None shall harm me. With my eyes shall I watch and behold the reward of the wicked. I am delivered from the scorching tongues of men. It has no effect in my life. No effect. I cannot be cursed. No curse. No witchcraft. No divination. No sorcery can prevail. I'm above. Yes, I'm above. Yes, I'm above. Yes, I'm above. Kaparakata, maprokoto prestia. Hallelujah. When you are on fire and you command power, let me tell you the truth. You will subdue principalities and powers. He says, see, behold, conceive in your spirit. I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. Satan was created. He was created. Brothers and sisters, Satan has never had the ability to create anything. He only perverts. But there is the Almighty who shall decree a thing and it will come to pass when the Lord has not. Take away that devilish mindset. Take away that demon conscious mindset. Take it away. You may be criticized for it, but take it away. The things God wants you to know about Satan are the things we have shared with you. Satan is not match for God. He's not a little stronger than God. No, sir. Because when there was war in heaven, it wasn't even God that fought. It was Angel Michael. It would be an insult for God to fight Satan. For the Bible says he rides upon a white horse. When he opens his mouth, a double-edged sword comes and he slays the whole nation. Come on. So if he opens his mouth concerning your situation and he's the voice, he's the word, but you are that voice. See, stop looking at yourself as one weak and no. Approach the territory of the enemy with conviction. I've been saying this thing for years. Satan notwithstanding. Stop thinking about Satan. Think about what God can do. How majestic are your works, O God? How majestic are your works? Read the book of Psalms. See how he magnifies God. Be magnified. Let the people praise you. The mountains keep before him like rams. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. This must be your meditation. Not that spirit will come in. If someone looks at me and says, before evening I will die, let me be honest with you, I will not even pray about it. The Bible says, I am the apple of his eyes. I don't know what you understand about being the apple of an eye. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Agape, love without conditions. I won Satan over my family. I gave him a sound warning some years ago. Sound warning. Hallelujah. This thing has not finished. Thank God, Bishop. Bishop has a prayer retreat tomorrow. We'll take the announcement. This is you see how God is arranging things. Because tomorrow we are going to be praying. From what time to what time, sir? 8:30 to 3 p.m. You enter the same trouser with Satan tomorrow. Somebody will leave that trouser at the end of those hours of prayer. They say when a small boy is trying to fight an elderly man, one day let him fight. Let the elderly man beat him in an irrecoverable way. People keep saying, you are too big now. This guy is small. Leave him. Leave him. The boy thinks he can fight. Let the elderly man beat him. I used to have one of our classmates in secondary school. His name is John. Well-built guy. Had a dream of becoming a soldier. All these junior students that claim they are big and they are rude. Us were preachers. We were nice. One day the guy got angry and he dragged the big junior student, lifted him and took him to our class. They locked the door and he threw the key through the hostel. After 10 minutes, all we were hearing were lamentations. He beat the living daylight. The junior student had been, he's actually a big guy, very big guy, and he had been harassing people. But John beat him that day. He said, I senior you in age, in power. We used to sing one song growing up, Devil I Senior You. Devil I Senior You. Now, you see, all those songs that didn't make sense will start making sense now. He lived before you, but the moment you became joined to Christ, you are older than him. The Spirit of God lives in you. Hallelujah. And he beats that guy. The senior students had to search for the key. When they came and opened it, there was blood in his nose, his ears, his mouth. Injuries that took a long time. He said, let this be a signature to all junior students. That when we say someone is in SS3, he didn't just smile to get there. And it was a sound warning that maintained decorum till we finished. Some of you may need to. You say, Satan, don't come to me, I won't come to you. No, you need to step in. Jesus stepped in and said, open up those doors and carry everything he has stolen. Father, we thank you for tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That you will bless us by the power of your Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. Let us be on fire for you. Teach us to respect your authority and to trivialize Satan in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Please sit down. A few announcements and we'll be out of this place. Hallelujah. All right, if you're worshiping with us for the first time, please, we want to bless and recognize you. We have a blessing for you. Can you rise up on your feet and just jump out here quickly? Please appreciate them. This is your first time. Make a bold step. You're a victorious person. Thank you very much. Please appreciate them. God bless those who invited them. Please keep appreciating them. Come on, Koinonia. Inside and outside, we're waiting for you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Don't sit back. You are victorious people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for coming. The Lord bless you. This is Koinonia, put together by Eternity Network International. Hallelujah. God is here and we're experiencing His presence. Were you blessed tonight? Thank you. Want to pray for you. Stretch your hands, saints of God. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Grow from strength to strength, from grace to grace. In the name of Jesus, every harassment of Satan over your life gives way. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, call 081-3832-5463 or 080-3350-8935. Or 080-3400-3936. You can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/ facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International, or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.